Case number 12, 22-173, that is a New London case. Good morning, sir. Can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name and indicating the authority you're representing here today?
Captain Todd Bergeson, BERGESON. Issuing authorities of the London Police Department, Chief Brian Wright.
Thank you, Captain. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. Before I go on record to this, I understand that I would like the appellant to kind of weigh in because the information that it contains in here relates to medical issues that I don't want to betray the trust of in regards to why he was rejected for those reasons.
Understood.
I understand this is open to public information.
It is.
So
it is.
I want to make sure that the appellant understands that what's going to be disclosed in here, we'll talk about certain medical issues in regards to that.
Sir, do you understand what the captain is saying? We're going to be discussing your medical history.
Yeah, I would like to rebuttal back that.
He's just doing it out of respect for you. So do you understand we'll be talking about some medical, some of your medical history that has been, I guess, disclosed to the New London Police Department?
Yeah.
Okay.
They never discussed any of this in the letter prior to any of this. When I asked them about any additional information, they told me, well, this is the additional information, and they hung up the phone. They were reluctant to even share any or any convey the, any of this information prior to us even having this meeting. So I am kind of concerned a little bit.
Did you receive the did you receive the packet, information packet, what's going to be discussed today from New London PD at least 10 days
ago? No, I didn't get any of that. And when I called and requested him on the phone and asked him why were the reasons why they were denying me, he told me that I'll find out here at this meeting. So I said, well, that's not really being fair to me as an appellate, because you're not disclosing any information to me about this, and then you're blindsiding me when I'm trying to exercise my rights. And it's in good faith because I've been a security officer over 5+ years,
okay,
good standing. So like, I feel like they're stopping me from making extra.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, extra money.
It's sort of a yes or no question.
Yeah.
That was a yes or no question.
Yeah, no, they had not supplied any of that information with me.
On September 12th, the packet was mailed, certified mail, the appellant's address. I have that information right here. As of yesterday, we printed off that they were sending it back to us because they made repeated attempts before they left.
They made repeated attempts to what?
To deliver. Certified mail. That was delivered also to the board here. It was also the attempt to deliver to.
Could you, just for the record, could you clarify the address?
No, no, we cannot.
We don't put that out.
Yeah. Can you clarify
can
that
you show it to the appellant
the address that is listed on the application?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, do you still live at that address that you...
Yeah, can I just verify and look at that? Because I haven't gotten any information from you.
Well, you can look at it. It's not, it's not going to be anything you've seen before.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a regular.
Do you still live at that address?
Yes.
Did you get a notice from the Postal Service?
No. And then I called up, like, I would say, like, 2 or 3 weeks prior to that.
Okay.
They gave me the wrong date. They told me even November where I was going to have my hearing.
Okay.
November 4th. So, like, there were,
Yes, Nancy.
These dates are all tentative.
Yes.
So they, it changes all the way up to the time that the hearing notices go out.
Okay.
So everything is tentative.
Okay. That being said, sir, the record before us indicates that the issuing authority intends to get into your medical records or medical history. It sounds like you have no clue about that because you stated and Postal Service didn't deliver the package to you for one reason or another. Do you want to proceed with the hearing today or
because I feel like I'm being denied rights when I don't even have a record, you know.
Okay.
I don't have anything.
Do you want to continue today or are you asking for more time to get copies of what they've disclosed
to
us?
I want to get If they can show me today and I can be able to look at it, if I do want to continue.
Just so you understand, I mean, if you have no idea what they're going to say, you probably would want to request a continuance so you could look at the information, figure out what your appropriate response would be, and then come back to the board rather than feel like you're blindsided and doing this on the fly, so to speak. It's up to you, but it seems like a withdrawal.
Well, the reason why is because it's like I've been denied multiple times for no reason, and then on top of that, I was dealing with employment things. This is another tool for me to get employment, and I feel like they're shutting that down. And that's not really fair to me as an American citizen. So those are just some of the things that, and this is the second time that I applied, and then I got denied, and they're not really forthcoming with the answers.
I'm just wondering if I can handle this.
So like, I do really want to have some type of resolution, because like, I'm just dealing with employment, dealing with me trying to get money while I'm going to grad school.
It appears to me that the gentleman to your left, representing the police department, is hesitant to reveal your medical information without your seeing it. Do you want to take a look at that file before we proceed?
Yeah, I would like to.
Why don't we?
I can't let him have this file because I collect information from NCIC, which
it's records that you're not allowed to see as a member of the public unless you have certain certifications.
What was in the packet that the police department was attempting to deliver?
I have the records sergeant who does all of our security.
Yeah, but what was in the record?
Everything that was in here except for the stuff from NCIC.
Right. Would you be willing to show the appellant everything except that?
I would have to literally unstaple everything. The packet that I believe that I sent to the board here did not have collect information in it.
I have that information.
I thought I saw some collect. I saw CAD.
Well, let me circumvent this by asking the appellant a direct question then. In the information is some information regarding your psychiatric history. Are you and your an opinion on your current psychiatric status? Are you comfortable with having that reviewed today?
Yeah, there's no problem. I don't go to, like, I don't have any problem sharing or talking and discussing about those things.
Okay.
I wish that they were more upfront about that in the interview than them saying that, like, you'll be denied for this or denied for that, because that wasn't really the case.
Mm-hmm. You didn't get a letter that said you're denied for X reasons?
No, I got the letter specifically, and it just said, upon these reasons, and then when I called them up and asked them, what was the reasons why that you feel compelled to deny me? He'll say you'll find out in the hearing, and they hung up the phone. And this was multiple times that this was done by their higher-ups. And the reason why I'm concerned, feel like I'm being denied my rights, because I'm trying to look for more employment, and I'm being shut down. I've been in the security office for over 5+ years in good standing with the state of Connecticut. So
excuse me, I'm going to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, so like, I really feel like they're really stopping me from making money, and I don't have a criminal record. So, like, it's not really making sense.
I'm a bit confused because the letter here doesn't make reference to medical records in terms of the denial at all.
And then where are they getting that information from?
Okay, sir, I'm going to pass you our package so that you have it in front of you.
Yeah.
And if you're fine, we'll proceed right now.
Secretary didn't put it on the IR. Oh, wait.
Because if you're going to present information if you're going to present information that's related to why New London is denying, it really should be included in the denial letter that goes to the applicant at the time.
Understood.
Good.
And this makes reference to nothing that has to do with medical records or psychiatric conditions.
Can we just see the address?
It's in your packets. It's in your packets.
Sure. You know. Because that's not the same on the application, correct?
There's several, yeah, he had several applications, I sent the entire packet.
What town do you live in?
I live in London.
All right, thanks.
Sir, are you prepared to proceed, or do you want a brief continue?
Yeah, because these are like, I feel like these are kind of like, has nothing to do with the topic at hand, per se. But I'm more than willing to discuss those things in those situations. Because if they would have had an interview and discussed the fact that the reason why I was there, it's because I took medication that was prescribed, and I had a medical reaction to it, which landed me in that predicament. And instead of them conveying that, they just acted upon it.
We're going to get to that, but you're prepared to proceed right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Captain, do you want to make any further opening statement?
No.
Okay. Sir, do you want to make a brief opening statement?
Yeah, I'm a grad student at University of New Haven. I do have a bachelor's degree at ECSU. I've been in private security for over, I'll say, 10 plus years at two casinos. I also work in private security and also have a surveillance part. I can show those things as well. I've been active in that line of business for, I say, over 10 plus years in good standing. I went to apply for my guard for a pistol permit so I can get more money to compensate while I'm going to college, because that's how I was making my ends meet. I feel like London's been, the police department, the higher ups, whoever, has been denying me, offer like prejudging, and they're not medical professionals to make those type of calls. And I feel like they're violating my rights when they could have just asked me an interview and had an open discussion, and they refused to do that to me or with me. So I feel like they're just denying me just to deny me. And that's like kind of hurting citizens who are trying to go about it the right way, especially if they don't have a criminal record or anything. And I feel like they're using different things to not have me exercise my rights so I can make extra money as a college student, you know?
Captain, you may proceed with your case.
For the benefit of the board, as well as the appellate, I will refer to the letter dated August 17th, 2016. I'm sure all of you have that in front of you. If you don't, and I would still prefer not to go into detail unless you need me to reread that on the record.
Well, you have to present the data that...
Captain?
Denial?
Captain?
Yes.
So we're going by which letter are we talking about now?
August 17, 2016, South Community Services.
Got it.
This is the first part in which we received a letter from APRN in which she stated that the appellant is diagnosed with schizophrenia, continuous paranoid type behaviors, that he suffers from active psychosis with delusions, believing that someone points a red beam at the window in order to harm him. He also believes that co-workers at a fast food place are poisoning the food of U.S. troops. He's been voluntarily admitted to the psychiatric unit. Antipsychotic medication has helped to calm him. However, according to the APRN, her words, this was unsolicited by the police department. It is in my professional belief that the appellant is capable of shooting someone as a direct result of paranoid delusions should someone present as a threat to him in his paranoid state. In an arrest in 2012, in which the appellant was committed to the Baptist Hospital, we don't have the information in regards to what the psychological issue was exactly then, but I can refer back to, because we have this in the CAD report, our computer aided dispatch report, in 2016, in which the appellant contacts the police department stating he has fits of anger and is on antipsychotics. I don't debate that the appellant is a decent human being. However, the concern is that, and I'm not a medical professional, not the one I pretend to be, but in these instances, And though they can treat the symptoms, if paranoia and delusions come back, I seriously have a concern for the public. That is all I have to state for the case for the issue of authority.
Thank you, Captain. Sir, do you have any questions of the captain based on what he just testified
to? Yeah, I feel like a lot of those interview questions were avoided and a lot of those things
were
avoided.
Okay, so a question?
Yeah, and I feel like you guys misjudged me, and I feel like...
All right, it sounds like you're about to go into testimony. So do you have a question? You're going to be able to testify next.
Why is there something that extreme to, like, to go back that far? I mean, I don't have anything like record-wise, like criminality-wise, to support what you're talking about. It would be like a track record of behavior of the individual being locked up and being in compliance and a whole bunch of other things. So why would you have those type of extreme perspectives when there's no criminality record to support that?
This is not a perspective. I'm relaying facts that I have presented right in front of me.
Well, you have the perspective of that you saying that you don't support that, but that's your facts or whatever. But the thing is, you never like conveyed that with me. You never discussed that with me, and never even had. Why was that the case? Why did I have to wait until and now at a review board, and then you have to convey my health status with everybody to get my rights? So I find that that's kind of a little extreme, a little bit.
I don't know how you would like me to answer that.
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer. You kind of have to. It almost feels like you're trying to make an argument, which you're going to have the opportunity to do that when we get to you next. But a question, something he can answer. I don't know how he would answer that.
Then why wasn't this information when I even called the phone up, I called them up, they could have said, we could have picked it up at the police station.
Okay, I think I understand
what
you're trying to...
None of this was ever...
So you're trying to ask him why...
Yeah, like, why was this information was not... Like, I called up the young lady that was working on Ms. Gladys, I think her name is. She never conveyed any of... Like,
so are you trying to ask him why he never... department never told you why you were being...
Yeah, like, and this has been multiple times that they've been denying me.
I understand that, sir.
And I don't have a record.
We're just trying to get to a question that
yeah,
I can answer.
So I don't understand. Yeah.
I think I can answer
okay,
what he's saying.
Thank you.
He's referring to one of the secretaries. I was unaware that the appellant had contacted the police department. I was unaware that the appellant wanted to speak to myself, or at the time of this, that this was denied by now the chief of police, he was a captain at the time, that I was unaware, nobody passed the message on. Personally, I would have had no issue discussing with him on the phone, but that was never relayed to me. So I'm not making excuses for the secretary, but she never said that the appellant would like us to return his phone call.
I talked to Chief Wright as well. I called him up, and he told me the only way I was going to find out about this, like to find out about this, was if, I had to go here. And I feel like that's even extreme, and a waste of taxpayers' money. Like, that's not really kind of fair to, like, me as a citizen.
All right, so that's part of your argument. But do you have any questions?
No, I'm kind of here.
Okay.
I have a question, because I am really concerned that with the appellant's mental health history and status being the basis of the denial presented here today, that the denial letter to the appellant listed completely other issues, and you're not even speaking to those today. But in a way, share the appellant's concern that the reason for his denial was not presented to him. Why would New London not put that into the denial letter, and why did it put, conduct disturbance and the issues that you showed me in the denial letter to the appellant, and then based the case on psychiatric history?
Well, I think if you're referring to in regards to the criminal charge that was previously listed in the interview process, it was revealed by the appellant that he was committed.
Now, I was looking at the denial letter that you showed me a copy of, that New London sent to the appellant.
Yes.
It did not say that the reason for the denial was his mental health history. And yet that's what you're presenting as the basis of New London's case today. I'm just perplexed by that.
And I'm kind of perplexed at where they're getting the information from. If they're getting information, are they allowed to use get that type of information outside the scope of the investigation in order to like deny people of their rights? Because I really think that that's really outside the scope of the investigation.
They are allowed to, my understanding is they are allowed to receive evidence, and apparently this letter from the APRN came in unsolicited. And do you know how she even knew that the appellant was seeking a pistol permit?
Yeah.
Apparently the appellant told her.
No, I haven't.
According to the letter, everybody has it intact, apparently.
Well, the thing is, I have never talked to this like woman currently in like years. Like, this is like 10 years ago that they're basing their claim off of. And I have no track record. And I feel like that's like a really gross oversight and a misuse of laws and policies to undermine somebody their rights.
Could I just interrupt you for a sec? Because we're going to get to your testimony, but I just want to hear a little bit more from the gentleman representing New London Police.
Yes.
Just help me understand why there was this disconnect.
In regards to?
The reason that you're presenting today for the denial versus what was stated in writing to the appellant regarding why his application was being denied.
That I don't know. I did not. That was not my revocation. That was done by Chief Wright on that denial.
Mm-hmm. But that then, to me, implies that that's the basis of the denial.
I guess it could be, yeah. I guess you could interpret that, because that was the basis.
Well, wouldn't you if you received a letter that said this is why we're denying you your permit?
Sure.
And I'm putting it for twice. Are you talking about
all right,
the first
sir,
time?
We have
wait,
to maintain some order
let me
here.
Just address this. Were there two denial letters then?
There was several.
Okay.
Let's see. Application in 2016, 2021.
So which of the applications are we hearing today?
This is the 21 application.
So what is the denial letter representing the most recent application then?
It's an August 3rd, 2021 letter.
Yeah, we have it in our packet.
Okay.
And it does not...
It does not list...
No, it does not. No, it is... The letter admittedly is very lacking in the reason for it. Did the packet you sent to the appellant, it had all this information in it that the appellant did not?
Yes, it according to the post office, it was to be returned either, it was supposed to be yesterday, but we did not receive it back. And the appellant is still entitled to have that when it returns back to the police department.
Well,
but everything that was sent to the board here, the identical packet was sent to the appellant.
All right, respectfully to everybody here, I asked the appellant if he wanted a continuance. He stated he wanted to proceed. So I think we're past this issue, although we will tell New London, this letter does not really tell anybody anything other than his permit was denied. But the appellant, just making sure you still want to continue today.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so I think we're past this issue. We really should be getting to the merits of what's going on here.
I just wanted to clarify that the current case before us mm-hmm. is based on the psychiatric history
yes.
and not on those other aspects that were actually written in the denial letter. Or do you want to include those as well?
No, I have no issue with the current previous letter, I get that the letter is lacking in information.
Okay, that's all I wanted to clarify. Thank you.
If I may, there was mention in the packet of an arrest for breach of peace.
Yes.
Okay. And that is, that's part of the record, and that's one of the reasons stated in the denial letter.
Okay, we have multiple denial letters here. I want to make sure everybody has the facts straight. Are we referring to the 2021 denial, or was it, what, 2016 denial letter? I don't have my packet anymore, so.
So if I can answer, mm-hmm. in the 2021 denial, okay, on the fee sheet that was also provided with the yep. questionnaire, the appellant talks about his breach of peace arrest, so it's documented in there. In the same thing, if you can look over onto the side, it even talks about how he's presently seeing a psychiatrist.
I never discussed that.
Sure. He's testifying right now.
I can only go off, as you can see, this is not my signature at the bottom of this document. Mm-hmm. It was the chief of police, but I'm just referring to what I have.
Okay.
No.
Sir, you will have a chance to cross-examine him. You will have a chance to testify. I can only have one person to talk at a time. Okay. Is that it? Did he answer your question?
He answered. One last question, not to rehash old ground, but how many efforts were made to deliver the packet of information to the appellant?
I have that listed right here. It says, let's see. They placed a claim on the 29th at the residence. A reminder was, that was, I'd have to look it up, the United States Postal Service.
We know there was at least one.
There was at least more than one, and then the offer to pick up also at the post office, and then obviously we got notification yesterday by going on the website that it would tell us that it was going to be returned to our department.
Thank you.
Questions by the board, Colonel Overture.
Captain, the appellant applied in 2016, is that correct?
Yes.
And that was denied by Chief Ackley, I believe?
I believe the
or was it by?
I believe it was Captain Wright was doing the permits.
The permits, but it's probably by Chief Ackley's letter.
Chief Ackley's, yes.
The letter from the APRN that you referenced, was that, how did that come in? Was this during the pistol permit process? You received that during the pistol permit process?
I don't know.
Okay.
You have to understand that at the time, I was the patrol division commander.
Yep, I'm just, yeah, so.
So not, I had yep. no, I had nothing to do with any of those permits at all. I knew no information about them, I knew nothing. It wasn't until I'm now covering both divisions that this hearing came about that I was aware of everything.
Okay, but previously the appellant had applied and denied in 2016. Correct.
Yes.
Fast forward to 2021, the appellant has applied again.
Yes.
Has been not been denied.
Yes.
So one of the bases of the denials or the concern from the London PD is the letter based on 2016.
Yes.
Which you spoke of. Has the appellant had any police contact since 2016? Since the 2016. That you're aware of, that you'd like to make mention of?
I have to be honest, I'm unaware.
I can hear you.
Sir, I promise we'll come to you next.
But there's, so in summary then, the sole basis, I shouldn't say the sole, but the basis of denial is the mental health concerns in the London Police Department has based on the letter from the APRN.
Not just that.
Well, that's what, okay, what else? Then?
Also, in regards to our CAD report, in which he speaks about.
Okay, so which, let's document that.
So it would be in 2016, in which he was committed for a psych evaluation.
Was that an emergency committal by the New London Police Department?
That would have been, I believe, by Norwich Police Department.
Okay, so 2016.
Hospital. Yes.
Okay, so a 2016 emergency committal?
The letter, 2016, from the APRN.
Yep.
I had it tabbed. The CAD call that talks about the appellant contacting the police department about his fits of rage, as well as being on antipsychotics.
So just, so what, what's the date in reference to case number?
5/29/16.
Also in 2016?
Yes.
And he called in the London Police Department?
Yes.
And that's, anything else?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? No other questions? Okay, any other witnesses?
No.
Sir, it is your chance. Tell us what you'd like us to know.
Yeah, I didn't discuss anything mentally-wise with Chief Wright. I've already had talks with him about getting my pistol permit. First, he tells me to, like, you know what, don't get any trouble, 5 years, whatever. I don't get any trouble. I'm in compliance and all these things, and I'm still not getting my rights. And I'm kicking out a lot of money to exercise my rights. So I feel like I'm getting exploited by NLPD when I'm going through the right channels, you know? And, like, the recent contact that I did have with police was when I filed a police report because somebody stole my car. So, like, I'm a citizen, and I'm following the law, and I'm getting denied for no reason. And I feel like this, they have no claims to what they're making. And I feel like it's just not fair.
Do you have any questions for the appellant?
I have none.
Does the board have any questions?
For the appellant?
Yes.
Yes. The letter that the captain presented to us and that's in the file is from 2016. Are you continuing to receive any mental health treatment?
No.
Okay. When was the last time that you were involved in mental health care?
I'll share that. My stepfather died. I found out he passed away. He was a school administrator from London. Mm-hmm. And he died because of COVID and some other things. And I went and got some help, you know. I went to a black psychiatrist to discuss those intimate feelings that I had and stuff that was going on about unresolved feelings, about him passing, you know.
And approximately when was that?
That was like 3-4 years ago now. This is during like COVID-19, there's like 2020s or so.
Okay,
like
2020, like, yeah. 2021 in that. And was that simply a talking therapy? Or
yeah, it was just like I called up on my own accord. Like I was like, hey, mm-hmm. I know I'm going to feel some pain. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with the death of a family member. So yeah, I'm going to call for help. Mm-hmm. So like I find it like when people seek help, if there are going, like I was given prescription medications from these doctors that he's not discussing or not talking about, but he wants to talk about the side effect of like he went in there. I went there because I had an allergic reaction to the medication that they gave me.
Okay. Well, let me help kind of separate this out.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we were talking about was your more recent contact with a psychiatrist.
Like,
was this a psychiatrist or a psychologist?
No, a psychiatrist, and I don't want to really disclose.
No, you don't.
Let me just finish.
You went to him. This was a male psychiatrist, and you went to him to have some talking therapy with reference to a family member's death.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was in 2020, 2021, somewhere during the COVID epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Prior to that, when was the next most recent time that you had any mental health treatment?
Nothing else outside of that. I didn't engage any, like, I didn't have anything I could remember offhand.
What about the Backus hospitalization?
The Backus hospital, that was because I injured my leg at a job site, and I got a leg injury. And they gave me some painkillers. I don't use pills and stuff like that on regular. That's not my, I don't mess with any forms of pills. So, mm-hmm. It's a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cultural thing. Like, I'm not really a fan of it. So I was in so much excruciating pain that I took a painkiller that was prescribed by Backus. Mm-hmm. I had a relapse and had a bad reaction to it, where I called and said, hey, I might need some help. So I'm calling to utilize services that I pay tax dollars to, and to go about something responsible, and I'm getting penalized for that.
Well, let me just...
used against me when I'm utilizing these services in the correct manner.
Well, so far we're not doing anything against you, but let me just get some more of the facts. So was that the hospitalization that the captain was referring to, where emergency services came and brought you to Backus Hospital? And were you just seen in the emergency department, or were you actually admitted for some care?
I was admitted to the department because I was taking medication that I wasn't used to, or that was foreign, and they didn't know my reactions may be. I don't use painkillers. Like, I don't use any forms of, so I had a bad reaction to that, and I was calling for help because I utilized something that was foreign to me. I was like, hey, I thought you're supposed to utilize these services. And I feel like it's being weaponized against me in a negative way and casting a negative light on me.
Let me ask you just some other facts. So the Pond House is was named the Pond House, and back then, I think it was before Yale New Haven took over. The Pond House part of Lawrence and Memorial or part of Backus?
Backus.
Okay. So the Pond House is their psychiatric service. So what kind of an adverse reaction did you have to the medication?
I'm just curious about that. I blacked out. I couldn't remember offhand because of, like, the whole thing was foreign to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I just know that I had a bad adverse reaction to it. Mm-hmm. I called for help because I didn't know what was going on, and this was something that was prescribed to me.
Yeah.
And
do you know why you were admitted to the psychiatric unit as opposed to a medical unit?
From what they relayed to me is that they wanted to make sure that this substance got out of my system and that mm-hmm. this was a safe environment to keep me in. Why I was detoxing from these medication that they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a shame that they're using this to, like, weaponize this against me. And it has, and this is a conversation that they could have just had with me and talked it, hashed that out, and got a more of a reasonable thing, instead of getting a letter from an LPN from somewhere and don't even have a timing when they got it, and all this other stuff that comes along with it. So it comes across really nefarious and really shady.
I understand your concerns.
And if they have this,
however, just help me outline the facts so that the rest of my committee members can get a good sense of things. Okay, I understand the position you have. You're very clear about that. Approximately when was that Backus hospitalization? This rough ballpark.
This is back when the dates that they said. This was a long time ago.
Okay.
This is almost like 10 years ago. It's a while ago.
It was it somewhere around 2016, 2015?
Yes.
When we have that letter now in our file from the APRN? Because she makes mention to that Backus hospitalization. So it must have been a date before her letter.
I don't really know offhand.
During that time, were you engaged in outpatient mental health services?
Okay. No.
When did you see this APRN for treatment then? Help me understand that, because I'm trying to put together the timeline.
Like, I remember that I went there because if you're, like, forced to be homeless, because I got evicted and stuff, so I was homeless on the street.
Mm-hmm.
For to be a part of some of these programs, you have to participate to get housing and stuff. And I feel like I was misdiagnosed. I feel like I was like lied upon when I was seeking services off of medication that I don't even use. It's not even in my record. Like, you know, like I don't use these things like at all. And I feel like these things were weaponized against me to stop me from exercising my rights or stop me from even being an American citizen. Like,
so am I right in understanding that way back then when you did see this APRN, she did prescribe some psychiatric medicine for you?
Yeah, and then...
And did you check it out? Did you take it for a while?
I took it. I ended up, like, what happened was I ended up blacking out. Like, I couldn't remember my name. I ended up gaining an excessive amount of weight. Like, I weighed, like, almost, like, 200 or 300 pounds more than I normally weigh. I was a cross-country runner. Like, really, really in shape. And then now, like, it really, like, it messed me up, like, physically, where I couldn't, like, perform the way I used to and do things. Like it really taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, and again, it's being used in a manner that's taken away from me now. Mm-hmm. And they're not even reaching out to me and being like civil and asking what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's done to undermine me, mm-hmm. not to uplift me and to build me up as a good citizen. Okay. It's to like brandish and to bar me. And mind you, I'm a grad student.
Okay, like, so go. Let me take you back there again, just for the facts. So you were prescribed a medication and you had some adverse effects from it. So you decided to not take the medication.
I didn't, and then I reached out. They said that if you want to discontinue it all the way around, they said reach out to a clinic professional. Uh-huh. I do have one. If you want me to supply his name to you guys privately,
but
I have reached out to him, mm-hmm. and he signed off on that, and that was the end of that. And then there was like, well, they were trying to push other things like medical marijuana cards and all these other things. I was like, I'm pretty much good. I don't want to deal with this because I was going for my permit. So these were the different things I felt like they were trying to stop me from, like, preventing me from exercising my rights.
Okay, so let me get some more facts if I can. So you were prescribed a medication, you took it for a while, you gained weight on it, you had some other adverse effects that you were uncomfortable with. You stopped taking the medication. Did you continue in treatment with that APRN, or did you stop treatment?
No, I didn't even, like, once they discontinued the service of that APRN, once you get the housing and stuff from what was conveyed, I didn't know that that medical information would still be used in this type of manner. like, if that was the case, why did they give me a guard card? If that was the case. That's with the state, and that's with the licensing, too. And it comes up as if you're a 2A person. I don't know if you guys are aware, so like if the police interact with you, it's going to come up as if you're a 2A person and you're not. So like, so certain, these licenses in these various different fashions, I've been as guard card for like a guard card carrier for over like 5+ years. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to go up the next step of progression, and I feel like I'm being railroaded.
Understand that, and you've made that really, really crystal clear. But still help me understand some of these facts, if you were. So back in, like, this must have been like in 2015, around in there, because her letter's in 2016. You saw this APRN for a while. Did she discuss with you that she felt that you had a paranoia at
No.
all? Or how did she explain what the purpose of the medication was for you?
She never really wanted to specify any details. Uh-huh. And the reason why I switched the psychiatrist, because she wasn't from my culture like that. And I felt uh-huh. like she might have not understood me or understand what I was getting at. And by the looks of it, like, it was used in a manner that wasn't cool anyways. So that was the reason why I reached out to a black man to get the necessary help that's a licensed professional in psychiatry. Because I wanted to have that cultural connection as well.
Yeah.
And I felt like by the end of the result, like, it's hurting me because I didn't go to somebody that's from my culture. You get what
I do. Now, the black psychiatrist you saw, did you see him back in like 2015 or 16?
No.
So between when you saw the APRN, and then more recently during COVID, when you had therapy with this other practitioner, you didn't have any psychiatric treatment at all. Okay. I appreciate your clarifying those facts for me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for asking questions.
Okay.
Attorney Sinetti.
Yeah, have you ever purchased a firearm? Never?
No.
Okay, so you wouldn't know that the very first question they ask you on the federal form that you have to pass on the background check asks whether or not you've ever been involuntarily committed for mental health issues.
But I don't think he was involuntarily.
Well, that's what might have been the next question.
I think it was a voluntary.
I was voluntary. I called up and I asked for support because of the medication that was given.
Okay. Because, I mean, it's federal law that they don't want people with serious mental health issues to be able to purchase a firearm.
No, I understand. And I'm nowhere near, like, if people, my degree, I have a minor in sociology. If you have a repeated criminal behavior, which I don't have, like, I really stay out of trouble. I really do stay out of the way. Because, like, I'm in the field of security. I've been doing that for a very long time. That's what's been making my ends meet. And then when I try to apply and advance in other aspects, you have to have a pistol permit in these avenues.
I understand that, certainly. But you have to understand that it is obviously disturbing to the board to have a letter from a mental health professional say that you would be a danger if you had a firearm.
I find it very misleading that this person would say that, and it, like, wouldn't you convey that with me as a client? But you will go talk to police, you get what I'm saying, with my personal information? Mm-hmm. And my question is, like, how did they even know? I want to know, like, since, like, how did this woman know that I was applying for my pistol permit? Where did she get that information from? And are they allowed to use that type of information against people in that type of manner? To stop them from exercising their rights. So I see a lot of things done in, like, kind of in a shady manner, per se.
Are you undergoing any treatment now for any?
No.
Okay. Because it would have helped, again, you probably in hindsight, but it would have helped this board if you had produced a letter contrary to
that. Well, if he had gotten any information that told him that this was going to be the basis of his denial.
But if you want me to convey, like, I could pull up the guy's psychiatrist's name, information, and I'll be wanting supplies so I can get my rights, because I feel like I'm being railroaded by people who have a hidden bias, you know, or have some type of, for whatever reason, like, because it's the same players, it's Chief Wright that's involved. It's the same kind of people that are involved in the denial process. So, like, it kind of creeps me out that somebody who would use this in a manner to stop me from making money.
I have a question back to the captain. The APRN letter from 2016,
yes.
Was that part of an earlier application that then you reviewed in light of the more recent application?
Correct.
Okay, so it was part of a previous application for a pistol permit that the gentleman made in 2016.
Yes, we keep all that. We keep all of them. We're required to under the Library Act.
And so you brought that forward then as part of your consideration in this more recent application for 2021.
Yes, ma'am. What would happen is the applications get presented to whoever's doing the interviews by one of our secretaries. So even if we've had denials in the past, that packet comes with the most recent application.
Okay. Was any thought given to this aspect of the appellant's application? The letter was in 2016, and the new application is in 2021. Was any consideration given in reaching out to this mental health professional to see if there was any evidence that supported a continuation of the concerns she had in 2016, now in 2021, and now we're in 2023?
I couldn't speak for that, whether or not Chief Wright or Captain Wright at the time did. I don't know.
Because just from my own perspective, that's my concern with this case, is that aside from other facts of the case, my chief concern is that the appellant wasn't given any information regarding the basis of his denial of his most current application, so that he could have been afforded the opportunity to present documentation from a mental health professional closer to real time now that would speak to his mental health and his psychiatric status. So my hang up here is a due process hang up, because typically in a denial letter, information would be provided to the appellant on how to seek documentation to bolster the appellant's claim that his mental condition was sound and solid, and he wasn't able to pursue that.
Well, and I understand, and I agree with you that the letter was lacking. However, another opportunity was afforded to the appellant when I sent the package that also would have included the questionnaire that's sent by the board, in which it specifically outlines the bottom.
Yeah, and would
so
it
that was sent out on September 12th.
Okay. And I just want to clarify again, and that packet included this APRN's letter from 2016, so he would have seen it.
Everything except for the collect NCIC information was removed.
And do you have, now I'm going to turn back to you, sir. I'm still trying to struggle on why the certified mail didn't get to you, because I've been the recipient, and you get a little, you know, you get something put in your mailbox that says there's a certified letter for you to pick up at the post office.
Yeah, right now I live like in a boarding house type of rooming situation, because I'm still, I'm applying for jobs.
And that's the address that
we're at? Yeah, that's where I'm at, and there's multiple people that live in that residence, like different rooms, so like I don't know per se if that mail got to me.
Have you ever had trouble getting mail?
Yeah, I have had mail stolen. Like, I have certain things. And like, if that was the case, I would have directed them to send my mail up to my business in Hartford. I manage a nonprofit. So like, either or, I would have like communicated with them, and they did not want to reach out to me. I even called them on multiple occasions.
And the them you're referring to
as
is the
New London Police Department. As in like the secretary that handles 2A paperwork and Chief Wright. He has his name on the paperwork and his contact number on the paperwork. I called him up directly and I asked him, what was the grounds on which you guys were denying me? And he told me specifically, verbatim, that I will find out on this date. That he was not trying to work with me or try to cooperate with me to get my pistol permit, but while giving me the illusion that I was, while I'm shelling out money to do that. Like, it's very expensive. And I feel like I was deprived out of that, just out of money, my rights, and also my dignity. Like, I feel like I was taken advantage of by New London Police Department. And they don't have a good basis for their answer and their reasons why. Especially with a claim that's outdated.
Well, going forward, I'd suggest you get a post office box so that you're assured of getting mail, bills, and other, you know, important information that comes via the U.S. Postal Service, particularly if you're in a living situation where it's tenuous on whether you're going to have your mail delivered to you.
That's why I would have directed, like, I direct a lot of my stuff to the business out in Hartford. I run a nonprofit. So, like, I have an office that's there, so that has a mailbox that's not going to be tampered with. I pay money for that. So, like, I had different avenues in which I could have worked and cooperated with them. I feel like they wasn't really trying to cooperate or work with me.
Other questions? Seeing none, sir, do you have any other witnesses?
If I knew I would have brought that.
All right, would you like to make a closing statement?
I really think that it will be in my best interest that you guys support me so I can work. I can apply for more jobs that are better. Like, they're talking about 30 an hour for armed security, and I feel like I was kind of like deprived of that for years, you know? And I worked as a security guard for over like 5+ years. So, like, in good standing. Like, I still have my guard card, and I have a surveillance license. Like, I have a lot of things that I feel like I was deprived of, and I was building a good track record within the field of security and in surveillance, and I get derailed it by an LPD and the employees of it.
Thank you, sir. Captain, would you like to make a closing statement?
I don't have anything further to add.
Okay, thank you. Prefectual?
Sure. This is a denial by the New London Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of denial is the appellant had at least, has appears to have applied at least two other times to the New London Police Department. There was a denial in 2016. The appellant applied to the New London Police Department in September of 2016. Prior to receiving that application, the New London Police Department received a letter from an ARPN which conveyed the APRN's serious concern regarding the mental health of the appellant and concerns for public safety if the appellant was issued a Connecticut pistol permit. That is right now the basis of the denial.
Thank you. Comments? Attorney Sinetti.
An attempt was made to deliver the information that was in the packet to you, and for whatever circumstance, it was not delivered or you didn't receive it. He was very upfront about the fact that he had serious concerns about mental health and that being the basis for denial of the application. You expressed some surprise over that, and the board gave you the opportunity to withdraw your appeal today and to go back, find out what the information was, get whatever documentation you might need to rebut the statements that were going to be in the packet, and use that as a basis going forward to respond at an appropriate time when your case came up. You said, no, I want to go through it today. Well, you know, I have a very hard time saying that a person with that kind of letter in the record without a rebutting record saying that today you're perfectly fine and you don't possess a danger to the community to go ahead and grant the permit. So it seems to me that you kind of lost an opportunity by not withdrawing your appeal. If your appeal is denied today, okay, then I would strongly suggest that you after the appropriate time has expired, I think it's a year, you know, that you reapply with documentation that you do not present a threat to the community from a certified mental health professional, and that would certainly help this board get past that and evaluate you as you are today.
Do you want me to call up the
not today. You had your chance.
And I was just going to make note, I believe the chair offered not a withdrawal, in which the appellant would have to start the process over again, but did offer a continuance.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
I'm just a continuance in which, you know, to not only to review the documents and then, you know, gather any information needed, the appellant affirmatively chose to move forward today instead of taking the opportunity for the continuance.
Correct. Thank you for clarifying that. I understand that the appellant feels very railroaded here, and I understand why. I think the captain now knows the denial letter was deficient. Might I also suggest when you send out the packets, send them certified and regular mail, so that if one doesn't go through, maybe the other one will go through. Just a suggestion. And I understand the frustration that you have. The issue is that, as I stated in opening remarks, where no additional facts or circumstances are uncovered, we will respect the decision of the issuing authority. That is why I offered you the opportunity for the continuance, because we understood that you didn't have the documents before you. So I don't think there's any additional facts that were uncovered today, and my vote will reflect that. Okay, so no other comments? Dr. Conrad.
For the reasons that my colleagues just clarified, I'm going to have to uphold the issuing authority, but I do want to reiterate for the record that I'm very concerned that the issuing authority didn't provide appropriate documentation for you to present your case today. And I want to say to you that I'm sorry that you didn't accept our suggestion for a continuance so that you could have presented some more current assessment from a mental health professional that perhaps would have buttressed your appeal. So I'm going to have to vote for the issuing authority today.
Attorney Sinetti?
I share Dr. Conrad's sentiments, and I vote for the issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Overture?
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis?
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray?
Issuing authority.
Chair votes issuing authority at this time.
Would you reflect mine to be at this time as well,
yes,
please?
Dr. Conrad's vote is changed to issuing authority at this time from issuing authority.